welcome to the Make Better Photos and Videos podcast. I am Ross.
And I am not. I'm Gordon.
And you're very thankful you're not.
Yeah, every morning.
Every day. Welcome, everybody. This is episode number 230. And if you're a regular listener, we're very grateful for that. And sadly, we don't cover Medicare for mental health. We're really happy you're here regardless. So, Gordon, I know that you understand contrast very, very well. So to set the stage for what we're going to talk about, what two tones side by side define maximum contrast?
I'm going to presume that this is not a trick question, but a simple one. Well, black and white. And I do not mean black and white photography in the normal sense. Maximum contrast has only black and only white. And absolutely nothing else.
Well, as we frequently like to quote our favorite film involving three seashells, Exactamundo.
And one of these days, somebody's going to tell me what that means. Because I don't think anybody knows. But
I looked it up. Nobody knows.
I know that you're going somewhere with this, but sometimes I worry about following you.
I strongly recommend that people not follow me because I often don't know where I'm going. But I will say that all that time you spent in medical school has ensured that you're no fool. However, where we're going today is safe, but it's also a kind of cool challenge.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'll bite. What kind of photography is both safe and cool?
Silhouette.
I'm sorry about your stutter, but...
Photography.
Oh, you mean where there are parts of the photograph that are all white? And other parts that are all black.
Well, that's the most common outcome. But more generally, the foreground is black, primary subject is black, and the background is something else, often all white, but sometimes a color or a range of colors. Silhouette's been an art methodology for centuries. When done well, it creates a powerful story platform without necessarily telling a specific story. Thus, by being open to interpretation, it becomes very engaging.
Fair enough. But what goes into this silhouette photography?
Well, you need a big light source, such as the sky, a subject, and the willingness to shoot into the big light source, meaning you're going to be squinting.
Okay, I squint a lot. Any guidance on picking a subject, then?
Well, where we find silhouette photography to be most successful is that you've got a strong subject where the shape of the subject is recognizable without having to demonstrate or show visual detail. Consider a fairground, for example. Most often we see photographs shot at a fairground at night because the photographer is trying to capture the lights and perhaps the motion and that sort of thing. However, if you shoot fairground elements, such as a Ferris wheel, and silhouette it against a bright sky, that can be an effective subject. It's readily recognizable, and you've got a different opportunity to tell a different story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have to presume, then, that the light source has to be strong.
Absolutely. A clear day is best, optimally close to sunrise or sunset, where the sun is just at or just below the horizon and can be placed directly behind the subject. Not only does it make the silhouette exposure easier, you also may get a more interesting color opportunity in the sky at this time.
Yeah, I get this. So, as little light as possible in front of the subject, and that means that you and your attraction to flash cannot play together on this one.
Well, that is true. No flash, no lights, no reflectors. You want the subject to be able to go black as easily as possible. Now, you may also want to experiment with different shooting positions in terms of your position, high, low, one way or the other, so you can experiment and with different angles for your subject. Let's use the Ferris wheel example. If I get really low and I position it against the sky, I can give it a sense of power and size that I couldn't do if I was, say, shooting downwards.
The thought that just crossed my mind is then, in this context, if we use a program such as PhotoPills, we could, in fact, plan this kind of a shoot very deliberately for pretty much any monument or structure or anything that there is and be there at the right time.
That's a great piece of advice because, as you well know, that could tell us when and where the sun's coming up or the right. sun's going down.
And you can put it right behind where you think you want to shoot.
Exactly right. Great, great, great suggestion.
And what about the elements in the background? Can they be lit?
Well, that's creator's choice. It's creative work. Sometimes you may want to illuminate a supporting element that appears behind your primary subject, the silhouette, with an alternative light source to create interest, or even light something tiny in part of the silhouette. It's very much the artist's decision. I saw one example shot in Paris on the Pont Neuf, where someone was leaning against the railing of the bridge, but the photographer had painted in light only on the coffee cup that they were holding.
Oh, boy.
It was kind of an interesting approach.
Yeah, so from what you're telling me then, is mostly we think of a silhouette as it's something that's there, you see it, you shoot it. But now I've just come to the realization that it doesn't have to be a see and shoot. You can be a see and plan, and if you think about it enough, you can do just what you mentioned, this coffee cup, little light, just emphasizing the one thing that you want. And that would make for a very interesting genre of photography, if you wish.
I agree with you. I think there's a lot of opportunity beyond the black thing.
Yeah, you're only
white.
Limited by, well, your thought processes.
Yeah, your creativity.
What about camera settings?
Well, you can, of course, use any of the auto or semi-auto modes, but I find that manual mode is simpler and, at least for me, it's quicker. I take a meter reading off the sky, set that. Odds are pretty darn good my subject is going to silhouette out. But, you know what? We've got modern cameras, and if your camera offers you exposure preview on the LCD, you're going to see what you're going to get before you actually get it. Or, worst case, you might take one or two test shots and adjust your shutter speed up or down until the subject goes black.
And ISO?
Well, I don't think we're looking for a really long exposure. So pick an ISO that serves the shutter speed you're using, depending, of course, on the lens and whether you're shooting handheld or on a tripod.
And what do you feel about the depth of field in these?
I think this is really artist choice as well. In most silhouettes I see, there's lots of depth of field. But nothing says you can't have shallow depth of field and blur the background out. It's common to use the small aperture to maximize the depth of field, but there's no rules, so you don't have to do that if you don't want to. So you, as the artist, pick the depth of field that you want, and then adjust the shutter speed as needed to ensure that your subject still goes black.
Yeah, because, well, you mentioned that most of the images you've seen have a lot of depth of field. But if what you're silhouetting is a single structure or person, and to get the bright light in the background, they're probably going to be against the sky or against a bridge or something. If there's a secondary object in the background, yes, you need the depth of field. But if there isn't, you could pretty much shoot wide open if you so desired.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of this being, as you put it, not just a snapshot, a planful process.
Are there Any subjects that are better than others in your experience?
Well, I think we all understand that a subject that's static, like a building or a monument, is going to be easier to deal with. But I know that with practice, you can also deal with subjects that move as you make your silhouette. I mean, I've seen silhouettes done of horses or people walking on a beach, you know, at sunrise or sunset. That's a very popular subject. So really, the subject choice comes from what the photographer sees.
I'm pretty willing to bet there's going to be a whole bunch of trial and error in this while you get things sorted out.
Actually, I would hope so. The outcome is not guaranteed, and that's part of the fun and the challenge. You might make a silhouette of a tractor with a sunset behind it and say, yeah, good. But then you might ask yourself, what if you then underexpose the sunset more? Now the colors in the background are going to get richer and the silhouette is going to get deeper. Or you're making a photograph, let's say of a woman with long hair and it's blowing in the wind. You might overexpose the background enough so that while she remains completely dark, you create a halo effect in her hair because of the brightness of the background. There's no snap shooting or computational photo nonsense here. It's really a creative process.
Yes, again, something I had not actually thought about, but yeah, that sounds something that's very doable or should be an aim to do it. What about focus?
Well, I believe that autofocus is fine, particularly if the subject is moving. Let's use those horses as an example. You might be in continuous AF. But if the subject is static, some people choose to go to manual focus. Since you and I both advocate the use of the back button for focusing and decoupling the focusing activation from the shutter release, I can leave the camera in autofocus without worrying about any shifts once I lock on the subject. And if I choose to recompose, that's fine. And frankly, that's what I do most of the time. Focus, lock, recompose, and make my shot.
Yeah, I like this idea. So I guess it's time to go make some silhouette photography. And that means if I'm going to go there and do the photography, it ends this session here.
Well, I'm with you on that. So thanks to all of our listeners. If you're interested in helping to support the channel, please click the Support Us on Patreon button on the website, or if you're a subscriber, in the email that you received with this episode link. If you shop at B&H Photo Video, please use the link on the main page, as it pays a small commission here and costs you nothing to do. Always feel free to submit a comment or send in a question. I read and respond to all. On behalf of the Photo Video Guy, we wish you peace and good health. I've been Ross.
I've been Gordon.
We'll speak to you again soon.